Well, the text that we read tonight is one of those passages in the Old Testament which do not immediately seem very relevant to our life today or even to our own age. I don't know what you thought or what you felt while Gerard was reading this story tonight. I don't know whether you're familiar with it, but you may have wondered, how can that possibly be relevant to my life today? Do I really need to know that 2,000 years before Christ, Abraham and his nephew Lot had an argument about the lands and about their flocks, and they separated? What can that possibly have to do with me today? Well, in order to understand the relevance of this story for us today, we have to understand what God, what the Holy Spirit, wants to tell us through the whole story of Abraham. Because in Genesis, from chapter 12 to 25, we read the life of Abraham. And Abraham was chosen by God as part of his great plan of salvation. And God made promises to Abraham. He promised Abraham a son in particular and a great posterity. And he promised to him a land, the land of Canaan. You may remember in the previous chapter, chapter 12, God asked Abraham to leave the land where he was living and to go towards another land that God would show him. And Abraham was in that land now, in that passage that we read, chapter 13. So as we read the narrative of Abraham's life, we are meant to ask ourselves, are these promises going to be fulfilled? God has promised to Abraham a son and a land, and it's not quite clear how he's going to deliver. It's not quite clear how Abraham is going to get those things. So as we read these stories, we are meant to ask, is Abraham going to get what the Lord promised to him? Are these promises going to be fulfilled? And in every chapter, there is a new obstacle cropping up. And in the passage we're looking at tonight, the obstacle is something a bit unexpected. It's prosperity. This chapter tonight is very much about the lands, the land that God promised to Abraham. But there is a problem. Abraham has become very rich, and so has his nephew Lot. And their wealth is mainly made of a flock, cattle, animals, and the land has become too small for both of them. So we're meant to ask ourselves, how is God going to fulfill his promise? How is Abraham going to get this land? The land is too small for Lot and for Abraham. So Abraham takes the initiative, and he asks Lot to choose. He says to Lot, look, the land is too small, so I'm going to give you the initiative. You can choose where you want to go. Choose the part of the land that you want, and I will take the rest. And this dialogue between those two characters is very significant and fascinating for us, because it illustrates two different attitudes in life. What's interesting for us to look at is really what motivates Abraham and what motivates Lot, those two characters, because they illustrate two different ways to look at life. Living by sight or living by faith. Living for what we can see, what is tangible, or living for God. Or to put it in another way, living to get what we want, trying to get what we want for ourselves, or trusting that God will give us what we need. Or to put it yet in another way, to live for this life here below, or to live for another life, the life that will start after this life, the life with God. So these two characters are relevant because it illustrates these two ways to see life. And all of us tonight have to choose between these two ways of looking at life. In fact, all of us tonight have already chosen, whether we like it or not, whether we are aware of it or not, we have chosen between these two ways of looking at life. Either living for this world and what we can get, for what we want, or trusting God to give us what we need. So tonight I would like to explore these two ways of looking at life by looking at these two characters and what we can learn from them. So first of all, living by sight. And I'm looking at Lot here. I guess you've understood that. Lot is the perfect example of what it means to live by sight. Lot is given a choice. He has to choose between various bits of land. And from a human point of view, his choice is very easy. We're not quite sure where Abraham and Lot were standing when they were talking, but we can infer that they were in the heart of the land of Canaan, because the heart of the land is hilly, and we can see that from where they are, Abraham and Lot can see the plain of the Jordan. So they're evidently in the hilly part, in the center of the land of Canaan that God has promised. And Lot has to choose. Now, it seems to be a very easy choice from a human point of view. Lot is very rich in animals, cattle, flock. And he has to choose between a hilly and not very fertile land on the one hand, and a very green and fertile land on the other. Well, that's an easy choice, isn't it? If you have cattle and you want to manage your assets, well, it's obvious what you're going to choose. You're going to choose the green and fertile lands. And in fact, it's exactly what Lot did. So from a human point of view, Lot's choice is very logical, very pragmatic. And yet, his choice is very wrong, as I think the text indicates clearly. Why is it wrong? Well, I can see three reasons why Lot's choice is wrong. And the first one is this, that Lot was led by his own desires rather than by faith in God. Lot was led by his own desires. He desired material prosperity. This prosperity was more important than God's promises. You see, Lot could not have ignored that God has promised that land of Canaan to Abraham. And yet Lot took the view that that land was not good enough for him, that there was a better land somewhere else. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 is very interesting because it's written in a way that makes you feel the desires of Lot when he looks at the land. Lot lifted his eyes and saw. It reminds us of Eve when she saw the fruit. Her problems really started when she saw the fruit and she started desiring it. He lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan. It was well watered everywhere. It was like the garden of the Lord. It was like Eden. It was like Egypt. We can feel the desire that Lot has for this land. He thinks that would be exactly what I need. It's fertile. It's great. I have the possibility of choosing it. I'm going to choose it. In fact, verse 11 is quite significant. It says, Lot chose for himself. He trusted his own judgment. He decided what was good for himself. He did not expect God to provide. And of course, all of us here tonight, we may be faced with the same temptation. The temptation to decide for ourselves what is good, what is better, instead of relying on the Lord. What controls us here tonight? What controls us? Is it our desires, the thing that we want, the things that we think we need? Or is it our trust in God? You know, it's very easy to be controlled by our desires. It can happen very easily to start telling ourselves, I need this. Even if we are Christian. I need an iPhone. I need an iPad. Do you sometimes look at the Amazon.com website like Lot was looking at the lands, at that valley of Jordan? I need I need a house with a garden. I need a husband or a wife. I need a child. Are we controlled by what we think we need? Or do we rely on God to give us what we really need? Because if we are controlled by our desires, and if we think, I need this, then we are what the Bible calls an idolater, somebody who has made an idol for himself. And we can have idols whether we are Christians or not. Even if we call ourselves Christians, we may have idols. Because if we are led by our desires, what we are really saying is, God is not enough to make me happy. I need more than God to be happy in life, to be satisfied. I need God and something else. I need God and a house. I need God and an iPhone. Whereas, of course, the Christian attitude in life is the opposite one. And I think it is well illustrated by Asaph in his great psalm, Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven apart from you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire except you. The Lord is my portion forever. Can we say that tonight? Can we say the Lord is my portion forever? Can we say, I see a lot of people around me during the week who have other portions. Their portions is to have a nice job. Their portions is to be successful. That's not my portion. But my portion is God. To be with him forever. That is all I need to be satisfied. Is that our attitude tonight? The Holy Spirit in Hebrews chapter 13 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, this verse is great because the Lord is not just giving a commandment. He's not just saying, keep your life free from the love of money, be content with what you have. He also gives us a good reason to be like this. For he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Do we believe tonight that the Lord knows best what we need and is willing to provide it for us? So the first thing that was wrong with Lot's choice is that he was led by his own desires, not by his faith in God. The second thing that was wrong was that he was prepared to make compromises to get what he wanted. We see that in verse 13. Verse 13, I think, is one of the key verses of this passage because it shows clearly why his choice was wrong in the eyes of God. The men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Lot has chosen a land which is very green and fertile, but there's a big problem with it. It's the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, of godless people who are exceedingly wicked. And it's very interesting to see from the little that we know about Lot, to see the compromises that he made, because in verse 12, we are told that once Lot made his choice, he went there, he went to the plain of Jordan, and he pitched his tent as far as Sodom. He's still living in a tent. So he didn't go to live in the city itself of Sodom, but he stayed outside in a tent with his flock, maybe. But interestingly, when we move on a few chapters and we get to chapter 19, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, we actually discover that Lot lived in the city. And not only that, he was sitting at the gate, if you remember the passage. Now, in the ancient Near East, sitting at the gate was the sign that one was one of the elders, one of the leaders of the town. So we can see what Lot did. He first went there to that land that he wanted, pitched his tents near Sodom, but not quite in there. And a few chapters after that, we find him within Sodom. And I can perhaps imagine how Lot tried to rationalize his own choice when he chose that land. Maybe he thought, well, that land is just too great to miss. It's so fertile. It's exactly what I need. Yes, I know that there are these people living there, Sodom and Gomorrah. I've heard that they are really nasty people and they're wicked and godless. So I'll have to be careful. I'll have to manage that. I'm not going to go and live with them. I'll just live around there. I'll just be careful. And we are faced with the same temptation, aren't we? Temptation to make compromises with our faith because there is something we really desire. Maybe we are hanging around with some people who are very godless, or they don't have a good influence on us. And maybe we've rationalized that. We thought, yes, I know these people are not great, but I can manage that. I'm not going to be influenced by them. Or maybe we rationalize certain things that we watch or that we read which are not appropriate. I've always thought that the one reason why the enemy has got so much influence in our society and so much influence on Christians is because we all believe that we are intelligent enough not to be influenced by what we watch or what we read. We think that. We say, yes, I'm not sure this is entirely appropriate, but I'm intelligent enough, I'm mature enough, I'm Christian enough, maybe, not to be influenced by this. And the problem is that it's wrong. We're not. We are influenced by what we do, by what we watch, by what we see. Or maybe the temptation is a job or a promotion. Maybe there is this great opportunity that we have, promotion at work, and it would mean spending a lot of time away from the family. Or it would mean being very tired and not perhaps have enough time for God. But we can rationalize that and we can say, yes, I'll manage that. I'll find time for my family. I'll find time for God. And if we do that, we are in the danger of falling in a trap that Lot fell into. He chose that land because it was fertile. But he ignored the danger of being with those people. And the truth is, if we are led by our own desires, if we are led by what we think is right, we are going to compromise. Because we've already started. We've started to compromise by deciding for ourselves what is good or what is better for us. Are we seeking God's will for our life tonight? Are we careful not to be influenced by things or people tonight? Or are we like Lot? Do we think that we can manage these things which are not quite right in our lives? Do we think that we can keep sin at bay, so to speak? So Lot's choice was wrong because he was led by his own desires, not by faith in God. It was wrong because he was prepared to make compromises and to be with the wrong kind of people just to get that land that he wanted. The third reason why Lot's choice was wrong was that his choice was very short-sighted. What do I mean by that? Well, look at verse 10. There is something highly ironic in verse 10, I think, in the way it is written. Because you can see the plain of Jordan is described as an estate agent would describe it. It's great. It's green. It's fertile. It's in perfect location. It's got everything going for it. There's just one slight problem with it, is that it's going to be destroyed by the Lord. That's the bit in bracket there, you see. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. When you read that, you start thinking, Lot's choice was actually a very short-sighted choice. Well, you might say, yes, he couldn't guess that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, could he? Well, perhaps not, but we're in a different position today because we know our Lord Jesus is going to come back to judge the world, don't we? And there are people today who have no hope and they only live for this world. They try to maximize their property. They try to get everything they can out of life. And the thing that is wrong with that is that the Lord is going to come back. And all these things that we crave for, that we desire, are going to be destroyed. They are just transient, aren't they? Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said about what he calls a rich fool in Luke chapter 12? This rich man who took early retirement and he wanted to enjoy life and he was not thinking about anything else. And the Lord Jesus says, you fool, this very night you're going to die. And then he says, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So Lot went there, he made the wrong decision, and unfortunately for him, he got into trouble, and the Lord came to destroy the cities. But today we know that the Lord is going to come back. And you know, when the Lord comes back, the world is going to be taken by surprise. Because the world always is. In fact, the Lord Jesus, interestingly, in Luke 17, refers to Lot and his wife. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus says? He says, in the times of Lot, they were eating and drinking and getting married and enjoying life. And then one day, the end came. So will it be when the Son of Man comes. And tonight it is worth reminding ourselves, isn't it, that the Lord Jesus is coming back. This world is going to be judged. And if we know that, if we believe that, surely it must change the way we live our lives. Surely it must change the way we make decisions. Surely it must change the things we choose. Ignoring God is not a clever thing to do because he is coming back to judge the world and he has told us so in his words. The Lord Jesus gave this stark warning, didn't he, in Matthew chapter 6. Whoever listens to my words and does not believe them, whoever does not obey me, is like a fool who built his house on the sand. Then the storm came and the house was destroyed. Well, that's exactly what poor Lot did. He desired that land so much. That land near Sodom, outside of Canaan. And it was destroyed. And he was only saved for Abraham's sake. So it is better, isn't it, to rely on God's promises and to live by faith. This is the other option that we have. Not living by sight like Lot, but living by faith, like Abraham. And I'd just like to look at Abraham a bit more briefly and see what we can learn from that. There are a few amazing things to note about the way Abraham behaves in this chapter. Verse 8, we can see that Abraham is concerned for peace, which is a good thing. Christians should be concerned for peace. They should strive to have peaceful relationship with everyone. So that's a good thing. But there is something much more striking about the way Abraham behaves. In verse 8 and 9, he says to Lot, we are brethren. And he lets Lot choose. Now, if you think about it, it's a very strange thing to do. It seems an absurd thing to do. Abraham was Lot's uncle. He had authority over him. Surely he had preeminence. Surely he should have chosen first. Abraham says to Lot, we are brethren, but in actual fact, yes, he was his uncle, so he had authority. And as we read this, we think, but what, Abraham, what are you doing? Why are you letting Lot choose? It's obvious what he's going to choose, isn't it? He's going to choose the best part. And you're going to remain stuck here in this hilly place with all your cattle. How are you going to manage that? What a foolish thing to do, to let your nephew choose. But then what happens? Verses 14 to 17. The Lord talked to Abraham. It's actually very interesting because the Lord said to Abraham, look around you, verse 14. Look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. In other words, look everywhere. Everything you see, I will give it to you. He's even getting the bit that Lot chose for himself. Because Lot was looking towards the east. And he said, okay, I like that. But God said to Abraham, look eastward. Yes, you'll get that as well. You're going to get everything. God asked Abraham to walk, verse 17, to walk where he is as a kind of symbolic sign of possession, that he's taking possession of the land. And there is this great contrast between verse 11 and verse 15. Verse 11, Lot chose for himself. And verse 15, God comes and says to Abraham, I give to you, or I will give to you. What a striking contrast there is, isn't there? The man who chose for himself, and the man who just waited, and the Lord told him, I will give you. Which of the two would you rather be tonight? Abraham reminds us of what it means to have faith. Having faith means trusting God rather than our own wisdom and waiting for God to give us what we need. Is that the faith we have tonight? Do we trust the Lord will give us what we need? I think the Lord Jesus in Matthew 5 gives us the key really that sums it all up. In Matthew 5 he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then the rest will be given to you. Can you see what the Lord Jesus is saying there? He's saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He's not saying seek happiness or prosperity. He's saying seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that means seeking the Lord Jesus, coming to him, obeying him, God in the flesh, following him, trusting him. You see how it works? First we seek righteousness. First we come to the Lord by faith. And then he gives us what we need. So the obvious question for us tonight is, what are we seeking? What are we seeking in life tonight? Are we a Lot character? Are we an idolater? Are we a Christian idolater? Or are we trusting the Lord like Abraham? And as I was thinking about all this, I thought that maybe this contrast between Abraham and Lot can be summed up like this. It depends whether you see life as a career or as a pilgrimage. Perhaps that's another, hopefully helpful way to put it. Do you see life as a career? As a progression there, something you need to get for yourself before it's too late. Because this world is everything that there is. You live for this world. Or do you see life as a pilgrimage? You know that this place is not home. Home is heaven. We are on a pilgrimage. If we are Christian, if we belong to the Lord, we are not at home here. We are on a journey. We are going towards home, trusting that the Lord will give us what we need for the journey. Because you see, the interesting thing is that Lot got what he wanted. He got the land, but then he got in trouble. The land was destroyed. Abraham never got the land. that God promised him. He only got a tomb for his wife. Because, as Hebrews 11 says, he was waiting for something better. He was waiting for a heavenly land. He was waiting for a heavenly land. The psalmist said that the meek, those who are humble, those who trust God and let him decide, the meek will inherit the land. Psalm 37, verse 11. And the Lord Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 5, quoting that verse. The meek will inherit the land. The meek will have the last laugh. Do you believe this?